Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. As I was praying real early in the week this week, I was asking the Lord, what would you have me share with the church on Sunday? And the Father said to tell them to trust me. I had no idea what the week was going to be like when he told me that. And I thought, wow, he already knew. He knew that we needed to learn to trust him. So we're going to begin today in Proverbs chapter 3. If you want to get turning to that, I would love to pray before we begin. Father, I thank you this morning that we can trust you, that you're trustworthy, that you always stay the same, that you don't move one way or the other, but you're always there, and we thank you for that, Father. I thank you that you love us and you care for us. And Father, as we look at your word this morning, as we look at the promises that you have given us in your word, that we can learn to trust you wholeheartedly with all of our heart. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse that brought me to Proverbs is chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, or make your paths straight. Make your paths level. He'll make it easy for you, in other words. And so I learned to look at the verses surrounding this and see what's before and after that. So we're going to be actually looking at Proverbs 3, 1 through 10 today. And it begins with, my son, do not forget my teaching. We have to remember the Lord's teaching, don't we? The word of God. Keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your day or your life many years and bring you prosperity. Who knew that remembering the Lord's teaching, his commands, would extend our life? That's what his word says here. It prolongs your life many years and brings you prosperity. We've been talking about obedience in Sunday school for a while now, and that is one of the things that obedience does. It brings us long life, and we can walk in prosperity here on the earth. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. There's a lot of things here that talk about trust, that talk about learning to trust the Father. What is trust? So I actually went to the dictionary to see what it means to trust, and it says it's a confident reliance on the integrity, honesty, or justice of another. So there's a lot of stuff there. There's first of all, integrity, that's uprightness of character. When I think of a man of character or a man of integrity, as somebody who keeps his word, somebody who is loyal, and you don't have to wonder if they're telling you the truth or not, because their character shows their uprightness. So, do we rely confidently on God? Do we have confidence that He'll do what He says He's going to do? Do we trust Him completely? And I'll just tell you, it takes a long time, for me it did, to come to that point where I can learn to trust Him completely. Some of you are young Christians and you're probably not there yet. If you are, praise the Lord, because that's awesome that you can trust God completely. You understand that He's reliable, that He does what He says, and He'll say what He'll do, and He does it. So, but it took a lifetime of, I'll say, struggles, some things that I didn't especially want to go through, but I did. But I learned through all of those detours, I guess. We talked about detours Sunday evening, and that's kind of what they are. You got little things that take you off the path once in a while. You're not going straight down the path like you thought you would, but you learn to trust God in those situations because I think He does that to train us, to teach us His ways, to teach us that we can trust Him, that He's trustworthy, that He will always do what He says He'll do. If you don't mind, now let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 25. And begin with verse 6 of Isaiah 25. And if you guys would, just write these verses down, because these are just verses that talk about trust. Talk about us trusting God, depending on Him confidently to do what He says. Isaiah 25, we'll begin with verse 6. It says, "On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of His people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, 'Surely this is our God. We trusted in Him, and He saved us.' This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation." They're saying here they trusted in Him, and He did what He said He would do. He saved them. As I was studying and preparing for this morning, I thought, well, Lord, can I show them from Your word that trusted You, that walked with You? And I'm going back to the example of Joseph. We just talked about Joseph Sunday evening, I guess, or maybe it was in Sunday school one of those times. And let's go back to Genesis, if you don't mind. Joseph started out, he was one of Jacob's sons, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want to begin in Genesis 37. This just talks about Joseph starting out as a young man. He was only 17 years old, actually. In 37, verse 2, it says, "This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17." So he's just any 17-year-olds in here? No? It's not very old, is it? Just a youngster. "Man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, his sons." And the only reason I brought attention to his age is because I want to show you how long of a period that this is taking place. He was tending the flocks with his brothers, so he was a shepherd, taking care of the sheep. And verse 3 says, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other brothers because he had been born to him in his old age. So his dad was old when he had Joseph, and because of that, he loved him more than the others. I don't know if any of you are from large families, but I am, and Dad loved some of the others more than he did me, and I don't know why, but we tried to love our children all the same. So when you have a lot of children, I guess it's easy to pick one or two out that are special to you. But Jacob loved Joseph, and just shortly after this, he sent Joseph out to the field to see his brothers and to see how they were doing and bring back a report. And when he went, he was telling them about, I had a dream, and you guys, my sheaf of wheat rose up, and you guys all bowed down to it with your sheaves. And so they were kind of uptight because he was thinking that he was better than them, and they were going to all bow down to him. And so they began looking for a way to get rid of him. They wanted to get this dreamer out of their lives. And in verse 19 it says, here comes that dreamer. They said to each other, come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. Say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. And of course, when Reuben heard that, he was looking for a way to rescue him. So anyway, they decided that they're not going to kill him, because that really wasn't going to help anything, because they were sitting there eating and they saw a group of camels coming with merchants going from one place to another, a caravan, and they said, why don't we just sell him to them rather than killing him? So they decided that's what they're going to do. They're going to sell their brother. And I thought, well, how's Joseph taking all this? It doesn't say that he's complaining about it, that he's wondering what in the world's going on here. But anyway, they sold him, and he went to, they took him on down to Egypt. And so when they told their dad that, what does it say happened to his dad? He went into mourning. This was the son that he totally loved. And it says in verse 34 of chapter 37 there, Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. It really, really hurt. He'd lost a son. He thought he was dead because they brought his robe back that they had dipped in goat's blood and looked like a ferocious animal had killed him. And he was sure that he was gone. He was sure that he was dead. How do you trust in God when you lose a son? I thought, wow. You know, that's what happened with Colby this week, with Jeremy and Tara and Roger. And I thought, wow, they have to trust in God. And we do too. To know that God knows what's best for Colby. He knows what's best for each one of us. He knew what was happening in Joseph's life. And as I look back through the times of struggle, you can see that it was a time of growth, a time of learning and drawing closer to God, learning to trust Him. And so I think that's what Joseph was doing here as he was going through these different situations. He was learning to trust God. And then let's go on over in chapter 39, after Joseph got down there and these Ishmaelites sold him to, I think it was Potiphar. And circumstances put him in prison. Ended up going to jail. But it says, while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And so, even in his struggle, the Lord was with him. Even in his struggle, when it seemed like he was as low as he could get when he was going to prison for something he didn't do. But while he was in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness. And eventually he got out because of a dream that he interpreted and was put in charge of Egypt. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because you all know the story of Joseph. But he was put in charge of all of Egypt. And it says, Joseph, in verse 46 of chapter 41, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So that's 13 years later. We want things to happen right now, don't we? We want to see things happen immediately. And Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt because of his wisdom, because he was favored by God. The leader of Egypt saw that and put him in charge. And so he was the guy that was taking in the grain because there was a famine coming. So he took the grain in and stored it. And then his brothers came down to get grain because they didn't have any. There was a famine in all of the land. And I like what Joseph finally told his brothers at the when he finally made himself known to them. He was kind of gruff with them at first, and as you remember, they did come down and bowed right down to him because he was the guy in charge. He was the ruler. And it says in verse, I'm actually in 45 now, in verse 4, it says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' When they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" Joseph knew that he was in God's will. He trusted God. He confidently relied on God to and through all of these situations. "For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God." It would take somebody totally relying on God to be able to say that, wouldn't it? I'd have probably been mad at my brothers, for one thing, because that would not be fun to be the youngest brother and have all your brothers but gang up on you and sell you. But Joseph relied on God. He was totally reliant, confidently reliant that God would do what he said he would do. Now let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. Seventeen and 7 and 8. Have to learn how to move pages quicker, but I'll get to it. Verse 7 begins, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water, It sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. Has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So the man who trusts God is like a tree planted by water. Its roots go down deep into the water. Always has water there, even in a drought. We learn to trust Him completely. And I want to finish up today in the Psalms. So let's go to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Begin with verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. This whole chapter is good, but I'm going to go down now to verse 23 and read through 26. If the Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with His hand. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely, and their children will be blessed. What a bunch of good promises. And we can trust Him to do it because His word is true. And He's always kept His word. And then over in the end of the chapter there, verse 39 and 40, says the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him or they trust Him. Those who walk with the Lord learn to trust Him and learn to understand that He'll take care of them in every situation. And then Psalms 91. Psalms 91 has always been a favorite of mine, and I knew that I had to include it in the scriptures with talking about trusting in the Lord. And I want to just look at this whole chapter. It starts out in verse 1 of Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He's my dwelling place. My safe place, my refuge, the place that I go to find comfort and peace. It says, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at noonday. And I can remember when I was young, the nights terrified me because I didn't know what was out there. It was dark and I couldn't see. And so the nights terrified me as a youngster. And we had a dairy farm, and one of the barns that I had to take care of was clear at the back of all the other ones, and I had fed the heifers that night and left the light on back there, and Dad didn't see it till it got dark, and we were already in the house, and apparently he looked out the window and he said, "Who left the light on in the back barn?" "That would be me." Said, "You'll have to go turn it off." So I can remember just running as fast as I could run to turn that light off, because I didn't know if something was after me or not. And that was the time that I learned that there's really nothing out there that's going to hurt me, because I went all the way out and back and nothing happened. I expected it to. I don't know why. But apparently a lot of us are afraid of the dark, because it talks about here in Psalms 91, the darkness and the fear of being in the dark. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. I thank God for the angels. I've always wished that I could see them, because I know they're around and doing things for me all the time. And I've just wondered, you know, how many does he send? Sometimes it probably takes more than one to take care of me, because I do some pretty dumb things, as my family will tell you. As kids growing up, I probably shouldn't even have made it this far. I did some really crazy things. There was five of us boys, and what one didn't think of, the other one did. So we got into all kinds of stuff. But I had a praying mama that her God protected us. You guys all know about that. If you've got families, you pray for your children, because you know that you can't always watch over them, but God can. And we trust him to take care of them, don't we? We trust him to take care of them. It says, you will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Do you love him this morning? I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And I guess you notice here that it doesn't say that we won't have any trouble, but it says he'll be with us in our trouble. For some reason, we have to go through trouble. It strengthens us. It's what teaches us to trust him. I guess if we had a life of luxury and no trouble at all, would we really rely on God? Would we really learn to rely on him and trust him? And I think that's why sometimes we have to go through the troubles that we do. But he says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. All through the Word of God, there's scriptures that talk about his promises for taking care of us, that we can trust him. We can learn to trust him. And as I was going through some of my books looking for some things on trust, I found this little, I don't even know what it is, a little card. But it says, trust in his timing. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do. His timing and ours is so much different. Rely on his promises. Wait for his answers. Believe in his miracles. Rejoice in his goodness. And relax in his presence. So if we can learn to relax in his presence, it'll bring a peace to our hearts. And we'll learn to trust him completely, without any reservations, knowing that no matter what we have to go through, no matter what life brings, we can confidently rely on Him to bring us through it. So if Julie, are you playing for the final? Come on up. If any of you this morning need prayer, need us to pray with you, Jesse and I will be here. I don't know whether Matt will make it down or not this morning. But for anything at all, if you need prayer, if you'd like to be saved this morning, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you would like to come and do that at this time, there isn't time to wait. As we saw this week, we can be gone so quickly, in a blink of an eye. And so it's important that we walk with the Lord, that we're one of His children, that we believe that He is the Son of God, and that He died on the cross for us. So if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you'd like to do that this morning, why, come up and pray with us about that as well. So we'll be here. If you have any kind of a prayer need, bring it along and we'll share with you in that. Thank you.